is the Flex Network. This is the Flex Network. Flex on them. Flex on everybody.
Oh, yes, everybody. This is the Flex Network back again for another one of those block rockin' beats. Joining us today again, back in the saddle for the Flex Network, is one Mr. Alan Seslowski. Find him on Twitter at ALANSESLOWSKY at Alan Seslowski. What's going on, brother?
Back again, man. This is like the reunion show. It's almost like, I was going to watch the Bachelor reunion show tonight, but this is way better of a reunion show.
You were not going to watch the Bachelor reunion, you succubus, you. And joining us again is the Flex Network. That would be I, Flex Matt, and Flex Shane. You can find Flex Shane and I at the Flex Network One. How is everybody doing? This is, man, it's been so long since we got back together, and I figured we needed to get back together before the draft and see how different things shake out to be. And I'm thinking, Seslowski, you got a lot coming for me here today. Top five ranks. Are you ready?
Oh, are you kidding me? So right. I love, this is the time of year. This is where we thrive, right, guys? This is talking about rookies, giving our great takes, our terrible takes, all of the above. And this is our favorite time of year. This is Christmas for us.
It's Christmas. Sugar Shane, how are you doing today? Yesterday, I FaceTimed Shane. He's in Canada. Canada's shut down for the coronavirus. Shutdown. Seslowski's in Florida, where coronavirus has not been a thing for months.
You don't even
wear a mask there.
Yeah, you don't even wear a mask in the supermarket. You can cough on people in Florida. It's no big deal.
Oh my God.
Crazy. But yesterday it was bright, sunny, and today 2 feet of snow in Canada. That's what Shane said. Is that true or is that a myth?
That is fact. That is fact. I can look out my window and it is still snowing, people.
Okay, grab your White Claws, everybody. I know you have them handy. We're about to get into this, but Seslowski underneath of us just recently had a airing on Sirius XM with John the Guru Hansen. Seslowski, you were, you were in a mock draft as Roster Watch.
I was basically managing their mock draft.
It wasn't a mock, though. You guys are going to play
it out. That's true. No, you're 100% right. It was a Sirius XM host draft where I was manning the controls. They wanted somebody to test out the Ultimate Draft cheat sheet and see how it would work. And yeah, man, basically competed against all those hosts and experts, and then got a chance to go on John Hansen's show and on Dempsey's show and Bob Harrison and review the draft and gloat how much we dominated it. So
score for the Taylor. Cheat sheet. DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, Terry McLaurin, Brandon Ayuk, the list goes on.
T.J. Hockenson.
And to end it out, didn't you take our boy O'Shea Perry, Paris Campbell?
He got him in the 15th round, man.
I love it.
I felt like that draft room was a little soft, and I was surprised. Maybe they were just still in baseball mode, some of those guys.
Seslowski. I don't know that it's good calling the whole industry soft.
That draft room was soft. We were getting guys that we value in the second, third, and fourth round. We were getting them in the fifth and sixth round. And maybe the cheat sheet is just so tuned in at this point.
The magical piece of paper already tuned in, cheaper than a cheap cup of coffee. Find the magical cheat sheet and Alan Seslowski writing for at RosterWatch, rosterwatch.com. Seslowski, I got a question for you. You were slayed by Roto Underworld in the mock draft. Roto Underworld versus RosterWatch. You were slayed for taking Trevor Lawrence at pick, 107 and a 1 QB? Mm-hmm. 107 and a 1 QB. Now, you were accosted. You were accosted, Seslowski, hugely. But were you drafting for your own team there? I mean, here's the thing. Go ahead, defend it. I don't want to defend it. You please defend it, Seslowski.
Yeah, I think the case is pretty simple, that when you're in a in a one QB draft. I would agree that normally you're going to take the quarterbacks later on, but it's not that, you know, we're talking about Trevor Lawrence as he's not like, he does have a super high ceiling, but I think what makes him one of the best prospects that anyone has ever seen in the last decade since Andrew Luck or however cliche you've heard is that his floor is so high. It's almost impossible for him to fail with all the opportunities he's going to get and the skills that he have. Where I was picking in the seventh overall pick, it was take the third running back. It was take the like third receiver, or it was take the sure thing. And again, think back to the Kyler Murray draft in 2019. That's where his ADP was, because at that point in the draft, the options were, you know, 30-40% to hit. And Kyler Murray, you could tell just right then and there, he was a sure thing. So if I'm in a draft and let's just say I'm not in dire need of any one specific position, I'm always going to take the all-time QB prospect at that point. And I would even take him a little bit earlier than that, you know?
You had I forget who you had you podcasted with, but I forget if it was RotoWire or not, but I remember they were saying, hey, I could defend it at pick 104 in a single.
Yeah, that was Mario Puig from RotoWire. He said the same thing. So it was interesting. You know, listen, it's going to be an interesting debate. You know, people are going to be high on Justin Fields if he ends up going to the 49ers, and he may even get pushed into the first round. If you have, you know, I mean, think about right now, like Shane, you know this, like if you have Lamar Jackson on your fantasy team, if you have if you have one of these four or five quarterbacks, let's take Herbert out of it because he's only done it for a year. I mean, those are the guys that you need to win in one QB leagues. Everyone else, you could always rotate through the Derek Carr, Baker Mayfields, all you want. But in order to win, you need those all-time guys.
Yeah, I think what's so interesting about that is, you know, looking back at it, I was picking right after you in that mock, and I took Javonte Williams. And when you look at the players who went after Javonte Williams, so you went Trevor Lawrence, then I went Javonte, and then a bunch of wide receivers came off the board. Rondale Moore, he's short, he's quick as hell, I love him, question marks. Rashad Bateman, we thought he was going to come in at 210, comes in at 190. Jalen Waddle, he's super uber talented. He didn't test. We don't know 100% if he's got all of the speed back, and he didn't really do it over a long period of time. So you look back, and you know, in 2 years from now, Al, maybe you'll be like, why would I ever take that pick? But in 2 years from now, these wide receivers might be nothings. So they might be second, third string Christian Kirks, you know, decent NFL wide receivers, but not necessarily dynamic, game-changing fantasy football players. Whereas I would be willing to bet a lot of money that Trevor Lawrence in 2 or 3 years is going to be one of those top echelon 5-6 quarterbacks. So you got roasted for it. I mean, Cody Carpentier took Jermar Jefferson. He took a little bit of heat, but that was obviously
now he's now taking a lot of heat.
Right. You know what else I think Matt, you could jump in here with this is that a lot of these guys that study these rookies like from years back is they come in and they're so in their own echo chamber and with all good intentions and good facts is that when someone comes in with a fresh set of eyes, they didn't even consider Trevor Lawrence, those guys in the first round, because the dogma, the old, like just like for the last decade in fantasy football, it was always don't wait on quarterback. Never. You're a fool if you draft a quarterback. But last year, something happened. There was a handful of quarterbacks you needed to take in order to win your league. So when everything just becomes like this dogmatic, like must do this, just like in rookie drafts, must not take quarterback in one quarterback leagues. But when you have a Kyler Murray type of prospect, when you have a Trevor Lawrence, I think you need to consider it for all those reasons.
Yes, yes. And we are going to get into right now our top five QB, says Lowski. I'm interested to see if you're willing to shake it up on your ranks here. I mean, it's pretty chalk. It's chalk out there. Top five QBs out in the industry, it's chalk. Are you at all, says Lowski, going away from chalk? Let me hear your top fives.
Yeah, I mean, landing spot is going to mean everything, right? I mean, like, just think about, like, Mac Jones, for example. If he goes to San Francisco, where is he going to be ranked versus if he goes to, you know, if he has to compete with Drew Lock for a job or if he ends up going to New England? But I think the real funny thing is that most people are going to push Zach Wilson down to five, and he's going to be the QB2 in this draft. So I'm curious to where you guys rank Zach Wilson being, like, are you high on him or from fantasy perspective on the Jets?
I think Zach Wilson he's going to be a serviceable quarterback in the NFL. But at the same time, like if you look at these players and who's most likely going to bust, I think Zach Wilson's got to be on that list, right? I mean, Trevor Lawrence, we already talked about him. Justin Fields, he is super accurate, and he's got the upside with his legs. He's a smart player, and he's tough as hell.
Yeah, but what if he ends up in Detroit? What if he ends up in Detroit?
I mean, he's still got DeAndre Swift. They're clearly in rebuild mode, right? But
what I'm saying, do you want to take a guy at 1.2 in your super flex draft if you're going to have to wait 2 years? Yeah. You know,
absolutely, it's going to be tough. Well, that's the question with Trey Lance. He is notably a prospect, right? Like, he's not going to be a guy that can go and jump in. And really, I think the most NFL-ready quarterback is probably going to be Trevor Lawrence. But Trey Lance, he only really did it at a high level for 1 year. And then where he was super elite, again, was on his feet. So for fantasy football, we love that. But is an NFL coach going to trust him to take over the team and run with it? It's hard to say. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be dependent as well.
Well, like you said, Toslowski, it's pre-draft. I mean, you can't – we're not ranking these players based off who you think is going to be a good QB in the NFL. This is pre-draft for fantasy football.
Yeah.
One, you got to go Trevor Lawrence. But at 2 and 3 and 4, I don't know that Zach Wilson, for fantasy purposes, belongs on your top four.
Yeah, I would go. I would obviously stick with Trevor Lawrence. Now, again, not because of his ceiling; it's because of his floor. It's like you cannot miss with this guy. I think that's what happens when we talk about all-time prospects. So we'll put him there. I've always had Justin Fields as my number two quarterback for a while. I watched some Zach Wilson. Yeah, thank you, Shane, for that silent applause. I fully appreciate it. Yeah, I don't think Zach Wilson's that bad. I just think there's a stink around the Jets is the problem. But so I would say Zach Wilson would be my three. But knowing that Trey Lance has way more upside, but just obviously there's a major floor there. And then Mac Jones, who I still like, has to be number five just based on the skill set, right? I mean, in some draft classes, he probably would be the QB1 or QB2. In this particular one, when you're talking about upside, he's probably the lowest of them all. But we could be wrong, you know? Who knows?
Okay, Shane, what do you think?
Yeah, well, Trevor Lawrence obviously won. Justin Fields, we've talked about it. Matt, you've tried to convince me. I've got the 102 in one of our leagues, and you've been trying to convince me to sell that pick for about 3 months now. And
I believe, of course.
I believe in Justin Fields. I don't buy the hype that Mac Jones is going to go 3 to San Francisco. And even if Justin Fields gets drafted by San Francisco, and for whatever reason, he's not going to be starting in day one, I still think that Jimmy G might be a good guy to coach him and train him up, but Jimmy G's not going to play the entire season if San Francisco can't trade him. So I think that at some point Justin Fields is going to get on the field regardless. And even if he goes 3 to San Francisco and Jimmy G's still in the building, I'm still pulling the trigger on Justin Fields, number 2. Now I'm going to pivot a little bit here. I think Trey Lance, again, even if he's not going to start right away, we know that these guys, like, look at Justin Herbert, a little bit different, but you know, when these guys, and you say it all the time, Al, when they're drafted in the top 5, top 10, these NFL teams are going to start them. Whether or not the plan is to start them in a year from now, we know damn well the team is not doing well, they're going to go on the field. So I think Trey Lance is my number 3. Then you got to go Zach Wilson. I don't love it. He's being mocked to the Jets by a lot of people, and that's what the buzz is. You can't love it, but they're taking a different direction. So Zach Wilson for me is number 4, and then I would go Mac Jones, number 5. And that's just because of upside. I think that, you know, Zach Wilson, he can do a little bit more with his feet. He's got this crazy, backwards across his body throws that everybody likes to see. So he's showing the ability to scramble. And Mac Jones, look, if I'm in a super flex league or any of these leagues and I end up with Mac Jones, I'm going to be happy having that guy on my team. So you really can't go wrong, I don't think, with any of these 5 players, but that would be the order for me.
Here's a good way to think about it. Matt, answer this question, right? Oh. Which one of these non-Trevor Lawrence quarterbacks is most likely to be starting week one in 2023, 2 years from now? Mm-hmm. That's how you should think about this. Which non-Trevor Lawrence quarterback is most likely to be the starter in 2 years?
I like Trey Lance. For that.
No, I'm not saying who has the highest upside. I'm saying
I think Trey Lance is the preeminent number 2 in this class. I think that when all is said and done, I think Cam Newton is a poor man's Trey Lance. And I think
I want to interrupt you for a second, and I want you to go back to this, because what I'm saying is the draft capital of being the second overall quarterback makes him the safest bet. What if Trey Lance goes, like, You know, I'm just saying, what if he goes 9? He's, you know, or outside of the top 10. I'm not saying he doesn't have the highest upside. I'm just saying who is most likely to be a starter. And I think the point is that you cannot like Zach Wilson, but if he is the QB2 in this class, he represents the guy who's got the longest shelf life.
Sure. I mean, but we said that about Darnold at the same time, and now Darnold is you still can't starting. Even sell him.
But he's still starting.
But you
still
can't starting. Sell him. You can't sell him, or he's not good for you in Dynasty. He's just not good for you. Sure, he's starting, but what are you doing with him? What I mean, for where you had to pick him, so let's say Zach Wilson this year, Sam Darnold, same idea, okay? You got to draft him top of your class. You're not happy about it. Same thing about Paris Campbell and the same thing about N'Keal Harry. You got to draft him at the top of the class. You're just not happy about it right now. It was not a great option. So I like to take the idea of the upside. And even so, Trey Lance gets drafted by, you know, Denver. Trey Lance gets drafted by Carolina or Atlanta. In 2023, that might be something that's amazing coming up down the pipe. Same thing with Justin Fields. Even if Justin Fields goes to Detroit and by 2023, that's an amazing upside right there. Him, you know, Swift, whoever else could end up on that team by the next couple years, and you never know. They could be the next dynasty in fantasy football as far as Fields goes. For me, Shane, the reason why I'm looking at it is, okay, there's two glaring things. Now, number one is that the brass at the 49ers decided to go to Mac Jones's pro day over Fields's pro day, sent the backups to the Fields pro day, sent their main brass. Now, okay, he's going to have a second pro day. All of a sudden he's going to say, okay, and then the second pro day, no problem. Now there's pictures. Everybody's starting to drum up the idea that Fields might be the, but the reason why there isn't as much rhetoric to that is that they said, I'm going to choose to show up to Mac Jones's pro day when my back is against the wall. What if something happens and we don't make it? He doesn't throw again in his second pro day. They chose what QB they wanted to go and scout with their eyes first.
Matt,
and to me, that matters.
This is a season of lies and deception.
Why not? But if you're going to trade the rest of your future, why show up?
Here's the thing, right? So, and this maybe this is like the definition of overthinking it, but at number three, they don't get their choice after Trevor Lawrence, right? They have to wait and see what the Jets pick first. Now, is it out of the realm of possibility that the Jets, if they see that San Francisco is absolutely hot and bothered over Justin Fields, would be like, maybe we need to take another look at this guy. Maybe there's something, just something that we're missing. Now, I don't know for sure. I mean, leave it to the Jets to mess it up. Sorry, Al. I think that the best choice here would be Justin Fields. My question to you guys is, if the Jets go and do take Justin Fields at number two overall, do we still like him as our number two fantasy quarterback? I mean, he's got a few guys, right? He's got Jameson Crowder. He's got Denzel Mims. Surely they're going to address the running back room.
Corey Davis.
They've got Corey Davis.
Yeah.
I think Fields is... The Fields is an elevator. Like he's one of those quarterbacks in this draft class that can raise everything up. Like, you know, whereas Mac Jones is, you put him in a system and he can operate your system. That's why the rumors were that Shanahan likes him because, hey, he's perfect for my system. Where again, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields in this class.
Well, what about this, Shane? Another knock on Fields is if he was as good as you want him to be, then why isn't his own college coach picking him at one or trading down one? Or if he's got to
Urban Meyer, you mean?
No,
he wasn't ever actually his coach. He coached there, but he wasn't there at the same time as Justin Fields. And second, I mean, again, when you're in the NFL and you're drafting your quarterback, you want the guy with the best floor that could potentially have that upside. I think from a pure quarterback perspective, you can't go wrong with Trevor Lawrence. Like you're overthinking it at that point.
Running back, says Lowski. Najee Harris, one overall at RB, easy, lock it in. No chance at all that any one of these guys are going to come up and nip him. None.
I mean, Travis Etienne is my running back one in this class. It's always, it has been, and it doesn't change. I think that he's the game changer type in this class. I mean, Najee Harris will probably be a very competent, solid running back, you know, I mean, but I just think that I don't, and I understand that he is the consensus 1-1. People say he's a 3-down back. Everyone already has him mocked to this, all these great spots. But what if he ends up in a committee? You know, are you still like super excited for him? Whereas Travis Etienne is like, my comp for him would be, if everything goes right, Jamal Charles. If things go okay, Gio Bernard. And again, Gio Bernard is a very useful RB1 for us in some weeks, right? Especially when Joe Mixon's down. Gio Bernard was this smaller back that can catch passes that when he got the opportunity was, you know, a top 15 running back. I think that's the floor for ETN. Whereas Najee Harris, he's a little bit older. So if you're drafting him for Dynasty, again, you're not going to worry about that, but you're drafting him for one contract. I mean, where ETN's a little bit younger, you know, probably has a little sharp. But again, I'm looking for the upside play. Najee Harris would likely be my running back 2 in this class. But if we were combining them, last year's class and this year's class, ETN would probably be the 4th, whereas Najee Harris would probably drop down to like 7 or 6. You know.
So are you saying you got ETN number 1
overall this year? Correct.
Nice. Okay, Najee Harris, and then who's 3, 4, 5? Does it get a little muddy for you once you get to 3, 4, 5, knowing how some of these pro days went? You didn't have the combine, so that's what kind of messed this class up, I think. The coronavirus as well. These guys, I don't know, as much as these guys want to claim that they were athletically ready for these pro days and everything, I don't see how it was possible. They did their absolute best to show who they were going to be in the NFL. So 3, 4, 5, Seslowski, who do you got?
Yeah, I think Shane can talk a little bit more about Javonte Williams when he goes, but I think Williams, it looks like he's going to have the highest draft capital of the rest of them. And then it's hard to ignore Trey Sermon as the 4th back, and I've been a Kylan Hill guy, so I'm going to stick with him as the 5th running back with some upside. He's a guy that I'm certainly going to be targeting ahead of his ADP, which is about like the mid or late 3rd round in these rookie drafts. I like him as any time in the 2nd round, as early as 2-2, because again, he didn't play a lot last year, but in like the 3 games he played, he caught what, like 30 passes or 25 passes. Yeah. And the year before that, I think he had like 17 or 18 or 1900 yards rushing. So over the course of his college career, he showed the complete skill set. He just opted out after 3 games. And he has his coach on top of that, you know, saying that he's a bad locker room guy, but again, it's just mostly likely probably because of politics and all that kind of stuff. I love Kylan Hill as my RB5, and I think there's upside for more.
So no Michael Carter, huh?
I like him, but he'd be my 6.
Okay, that's not chalk. That's not chalk at all, Shane. What do you got, top 5?
Yeah, so for me, I'm definitely going, I say definitely. Right now I've got Najee Harris. He's just the more complete back. He's 230 pounds, 6'1". He isn't a year older, but I mean, really, we're trying to draft these running backs for their first contract. We say it all the time. Travis Etienne, though, man, he's the kind of guy that can come out and probably put up like 50, 60, 70 plus receptions in a season. But then again, Najee wasn't a slouch either. He had what, 43 receptions in his senior year. So both these guys can catch. They both have speed. They're both dynamic. Najee Harris is best comparable, Joe Mixon on Player Profiler. And of course, Travis Etienne is DeAndre Swift. So these are two players that you really can't go wrong with. But I think I've gone back and forth, but I'm definitely going Najee. Javonte Williams, this was a guy that a lot of people were really high on. And I still think he's my number 3 overall, but he had kind of a disappointing pro day. I mean, a lot of people had a disappointing pro day. He ran a 4.57, and then if you want to adjust that, it's actually to 4.62, which is only a 41st percentile 40-yard dash. A little disappointing, but he's still a guy that I think can handle a 3-down workload. He still had 25 receptions, 1,140 rushing yards, and 305 receiving yards, so he can do it all. And he's got the body. He's 212 pounds. So he's the guy that I'd be comfortable pulling the button with on my 3rd overall running back pick. Kenny Gainwell is the guy that I have as my number 4. So Kenny Gainwell, he's from Memphis. He didn't play this year. He opted out. But last year, I mean, guys, Antonio Gibson is a player that we're all very, very high on. And he's the one who kept Antonio Gibson off the field. That's kind of a cliche at this point, but in 14 games, he had 231 rush attempts, which means he knows he has the body to carry the ball. He put up 1,459 rush yards, 16 touchdowns, 51 receptions, 51 receptions and 610 receiving yards. If you go and watch this guy's film, they would line him up consistently on the outside as a wide receiver, and he can go and he could take the fade. He could play the sideline. Like, he's a legitimate wide receiver. And what's going to really differentiate your running backs in today's league is being able to catch the ball. So maybe he'll start off as a third down back, but he's the kind of player that I think can play on first and second down. And I would definitely pull the trigger on him next. And then this is a guy that I wasn't as high on, to be honest with you, but I did notice him in the college football playoffs. And that's Trey Sermon. This is the guy that's really starting to grow on me. He's another guy. He's a senior of Ohio State, but he's only 22 years old. So again, a full year younger than Najee Harris. He's 6 foot, 215 pounds. So again, he's done it at a high level. He's done it at Ohio State, which is a respected program. And he's the kind of player that I think his body can handle an NFL workload. I don't think he's going to be drafted to be the starter. He certainly won't be on a team. It's going to be like a lot of these running backs, landing spot dependent. But if he can go in the third round, which there might be some notoriety, third or fourth round, give him an opportunity, I like him to do some damage.
Some people even have, I mean, some people are talking about Trey Sermon potentially being the first RB selected overall in the draft just because he has such an eclectic playing style. I think that Javonte Williams and Chris Carson are very awesome comparables to each other. Chris Carson also running a somewhat slow 40 coming out, very similar size as Javonte, but of course took some time, or at least not someone that was drafted to be where he's at right now, which Chris Carson over the last couple of years has been a really great dynasty asset. Kenny Gainwell is one of those guys that you're really hoping if you got the 2.6, 2.7, you know, he's a steal, I think, getting to you at 2.6.
What's kind of cool about Kenny Gainwell, too, that I like is when he was in high school, he was a quarterback. So he has just like a different perspective on the game than maybe somebody who only ever played running back. So there's just that different element. He knows how to play wide receiver, running back, and he played quarterback in high school. I think that matters, right? He's just an overall athlete. And again, Antonio Gibson is a freak. And yet the coaching staff who are around these guys all the time chose Kenny Gainwell ahead of him. I think that people aren't talking about him because he opted out this year, but I like it. I mean, he had one full year of production. He's only 21 years old. Love it. I love him.
Book it, book it. Zaslowski, this is where we get into the money. This is where we get into the money here. This draft, playmakers at the top of the draft. Okay. First round wide receivers, our friend Sully from Houston put a nice stat on. They don't end up booking out very well, at least in the top 10. But you're hearing rumblings. You can get a lot of these wide receivers potentially getting drafted off the board, at least by the first 15 picks. So, top five, says Lowski. Number one is pretty easy. I would have to say it's got to be chalk all the way around. But at 2, 3, and 4, depending on where you look, you almost got a selection of all three guys, even four guys, bouncing all over the board at 2 to 5. So who does Alan Seslowski vote for 2, 3, and 4 top wide receivers in this draft pre-draft?
You know what I think is interesting also? I think like in these rookie drafts that we're all about to do, I don't know how many of you guys are doing. I have probably at least 15 of them at this point. But I think I'm in a position in a lot of these. I'm either like picking at like 4, like 5 or 6, where I'm going to have to decide between Kyle Pitts and it as a tight end or my wide receiver 1. You know, like I'm going to have to decide there. I think that's an interesting discussion at some point. But yeah, I mean, you know, Ja'Marr Chase for now, I think landing spot could knock Chase down to 2 for me. Cause I, even though he's pretty polarizing and if he's a success in the NFL, it'll be an outlier. I watched Devontae Smith's pretty closely. I went back cause I was like, you know, why is everyone so high on him if he's 170 pounds? But then I went back and carefully watched over, I think like 2.5 weeks ago now. And I came away like, odd. I mean, his wingspan is 6'6". He makes all these acrobatic catches and he scored 23 touchdowns. I mean, he's the first wide receiver in over 50 years to win the Heisman Trophy. He defies his physicality. And then, so the knock on Devontae Smith was that he'll get jammed at the line, but I watched his handwork. He was able to routinely escape top-notch cornerback. So Devontae Smith, for me, is absolutely the wide receiver two. And I don't mind bumping him up to wide receiver one if the chips fall in a good place for him. Waddle would be three. I think everybody likes Waddle. He's got, you know, the highest floor of the group. And then, I mean, landing now, spot.
Jalen Waddle has the highest floor or the highest ceiling?
Highest ceiling. Thank you. Thank you for that correction. Highest ceiling of that is that he looks like a really good dynamic player. You know, every year there's one guy, he's the new Tyreek Hill. Obviously, you know, there's not going to be another Tyreek Hill. Unless it was Odell Beckham and Tyreek, you know, like I just don't see it in this class, but I like Terrace Marshall. He's growing on me a lot as the next guy for me. And I had written off, Kadarius Toney, but now the fact that everyone hates him is making me more, is making me interested in him.
Al, what's so funny about that is, like, I don't know if you ever listened to NFL Network on Sirius, but a lot of these mocks, a lot of these like NFL types that aren't fantasy football focused, they're mocking him a lot consistently in the late first round, early second round. So if he has draft capital, that makes a big difference, I think. And you know, if he's going that late, he's going to be landing on a good team.
Yep. Yeah. The Chiefs. Say he ends up on the Chiefs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, yeah, and so that would be my five.
The mock is that essentially it's not the Chiefs, but it just seems to be the sweet spot for a first round wide receiver in so long. Just the drought of first round wide receivers or first round help for Aaron Rodgers seems to be the Terrace Marshall, the Kadarius Tonys, the players that actually have NFL prototype size and speed with an arm that's going to get it there. These the unbelievable catch radiuses. I forgot who had it, but I think, is it Terrace Marshall? Who's got the catch radius that is longer than Trevor Lawrence is tall?
I mean, I thought that was Devontae Smith with his 6'6" wingspan. I mean, I don't, you know, I didn't look at catch radiuses for all of these guys, but I don't know. I'm really curious to what you guys have as your top five. I mean, I found that Devontae Smith is nowhere near it. Sometimes he's like ranked fourth or fifth in this class. I didn't understand that.
Go ahead, Shane, because Shane's going to tell you right now why he's ranked fourth or fifth in this class.
Ja'Marr Chase, absolutely, he's number one. You've already talked about it. I still, and I've gone back and I'm very back and forth on a lot of these guys, but I still have Rashad Bateman as my number two overall. He's more of a possession wide receiver. Minnesota listed him at 6'2", 210 pounds on their website. Of course, he weighs in at 190 and 6 foot. A little bit disappointing. But then you go back to the
tape. COVID, because he was I saw on my COVID. So he's a COVID guy. Yeah,
exactly. So he did have COVID in the season, and that's one of the reasons he listed that he lost a lot of weight. So he actually was hit pretty hard by COVID. You know, in the back of my head, I think about, well, there are sometimes long term impacts for COVID people, even professional athletes, but you can't forget about that. So you saw the production in college. He's best comparable to a player called Stephon Diggs. Ever heard of him? He's a possession type wide receiver, and he's the kind of guy that can take over a game. I think that he's probably going to go either early second round, late first round, potentially. I think that not a lot of people are talking about him yet, but there's always going to be surprises where these teams go up and they want to get these elite wide receivers. He's a game changer. That's why I have him at number two. I do have Devontae Smith at number three, Al. I was the same thing with you, man. Like, you go and you watch and you study these guys right after, you know, early January sort of thing, right? You start making your list. You're like, holy shit, he won the Heisman. This guy's a stud. He's got to be one of the top few players. And then you just like that seed from fantasy football Twitter. It's negative. It's negative. It's negative. And it slowly brings him down my board. And then when we were preparing for this show, I'm like, no, I got a fresh slate. Start looking back, look at the stats, go back, watch the games again. And there's actually, it's a hype video, but there's a hype video that you can see on YouTube. And I think it must have been produced by Devontae Smith's people, because I'm not kidding you, because part of it is, well, this guy's going to be 165, 170 pounds. Is he going to be able to take a hit? Well, there was a good 3-4 minutes of just highlights of him catching the ball, making a big move, and then getting destroyed, bouncing back up, ready to play the next down. And I get the NFL is a different beast, but he's going to mature. He's going to put on weight. We did see a guy like Marvin Harrison do it. I guess, you know, it's an outlier, but
talent doesn't lie. I don't care about the fact that if Waddle was there, he might not have won. He probably wouldn't have won the Heisman. Guess what? Rashad Bateman didn't win the Heisman. A lot of these other quarterbacks didn't win the Heisman. Najee Harris didn't win the Heisman. Who won it? Devontae Smith. That fucking matters to me. So I have him at my number three. My number four, it's funny that you're saying that you're starting to grow on Terrace Marshall. Matt and I were texting just yesterday, and we're saying, you know who would be a surprise if he went as my number two in the right spots? I think that Terrace Marshall could be that guy. And Matt's like, shit, he's my guy. You can't talk about Terrace Marshall. He's my guy. And then you come out today saying that he's rising on your board. Terrace Marshall, LSU product, we know that they're just an absolute factory. He did produce back when Ja'Marr Chase was playing. Justin Jefferson, never heard of him. So I like him as my number four wide receiver. And then I probably shouldn't have him here. This is probably just because I love the young, shifty, quick wide receivers. But I had to keep Rondale Moore, if nothing else, just to talk to him at number five right now. I get that he only came in at 5'7", which I'm not tall. I'm 5'6". And
yeah, but wasn't that expected? People expected him to be 5'7".
He was listed at 5'8".
Yeah, some were hoping more like 5'8¾", but it ended up.
Yeah.
But he tested well other than that, right? I mean, his superpower was never his height.
Frank, his superpower is his ability to avoid people hitting him. And the thing is that you look at him, he's still a stout guy. I'm looking at his BMI right now. He's still got a 28.3 BMI. And I would say anything above 26, 27, 28, you're fine in the NFL. So Rondale Moore, the reason I don't have him higher on my board is because he is more so than like a Rashad Bateman, a little bit more landing spot dependent. He needs to go to the right offense. He needs to go to a coach that's creative and knows how to use him and put the ball in his hand. He's gonna do damage with it. And so until we know where he's going to land, I can't have him any higher than five. For me, it was between him and Waddle, but I'm biased. I love Elijah Moore. I had to put him at number five.
Geez, that's such a, yeah, the wide receiver class is pretty deep on the average side. You know, they the landing spots are definitely going to change how you feel about these guys. But Sislowski, what do you think about Rondale Moore?
Yeah, I don't think that his size is prohibitive. A team that drafts Rondale Moore is going to have a plan for him, and it's going to include jet sweeps, you know, things like you see Robert Woods do, or, you know, I know they're different measurables. Robert Woods is a much bigger player, but you know, I think that you're not drafting Rondale Moore in your rookie dynasty drafts thinking that you have a wide receiver one. If he ends up being like perennial wide receiver 24, 31, 18, that's, you know, like on a good year, racks up Jarvis Landry type of receptions with low yardage. I think that's what you should expect when you're drafting Rondale Moore for fantasy, a PPR style back who's going to get some rushing attempts, who you hope is going to be a wide receiver two for you in your lineup for years to come. You're not drafting upside, you're drafting floor there.
What are you? You had said that Ja'Marr Chase would slide down your list if Devontae Smith got drafted to the right system,
and Ja'Marr Chase the wrong system.
Yeah. You know? So where would those systems have to be for your chains to move on both those players?
Yeah. Now that's a really good question, right? So because Ja'Marr Chase, let's say he ends up in Detroit somehow, right? I mean, you're not thrilled with Jared Goff as the quarterback. We love the talent there. I mean, they don't have any other real competition for wide receiver targets. It's Breshad Perriman and Tyrell Williams. So you think like, okay, he's going to get an opportunity, but you saw what that team already said they're going to do. They're going to run the ball. They're going to grind out yards. It would just be a bad situation. Now put Devontae Smith back with his college quarterback Tua, right? He's instantly the wide receiver one in that team. Now, if Ja'Marr Chase ends up with the Cincinnati Bengals, with his college quarterback, he's going to have the best chemistry with Joe Burrow than any of those guys who only got to play with Joe Burrow for like eight games. So Ja'Marr Chase, I think one of the best scenarios for him would be the Bengals, the wrong scenario, Detroit. And I think Devontae Smith fits in better to almost any of those teams. So I'm not saying it's likely to happen. I'm saying I wouldn't be opposed to flopping them if Ja'Marr Chase ends up on a poor quarterback team like Detroit.
Well,
I got a question for y'all. Devonta Smith, I've seen him mock to Minnesota. I think that would be a really interesting fit as kind of the heir apparent for Adam Thielen as a possession type wide receiver. Would you like him in that sort of an offense?
I think that's a bad situation for him. Yeah. I mean, actually, the only good thing about it is that right now, all the passing targets go to two players. They go, I mean, Adam Thielen had 14 touchdowns last year, and obviously we know what Justin Jefferson did. I mean, I know everyone likes Irv Smith this year, but he hasn't done anything to show that he's going to be the third passing target. So there would be opportunity there. And I think in that specific case, I don't think it's a terrible thing, but you want him to go to a situation where he can instantly be the number one, and that's not going to happen in Minnesota. I mean, that would not happen in Minnesota. Yeah. But so I would say it's fine, but not enough to push him up. Matt's question was a really good question. What is that situation where you'd flop them? And I think that Detroit, really now thinking about it, Jamar Chase going to Detroit would really make me second think taking him ahead of Devontae Smith.
Jared Goff did make Cooper Kupp fantasy relevant. He made Robert Woods fantasy relevant, though.
Or did Sean McVay do that?
Well, I don't know. You can't find out because Matt Stafford is a good QB, so it's not like you're going to be able to tell, you know, if Goff was that bad or not. But where you will be able to tell is how putrid Goff might look in Detroit.
Okay, so here's just a counter argument. I'm not saying I'm not hoping Devonta Smith goes to Detroit, but here's a counter argument for that. Okay. Jared Goff was not good at throwing the ball deep downfield. Where he was successful was giving the ball close to the line of scrimmage, 7-8 yards out to Robert Woods, to Cooper Kupp. Thank you. Devonta Smith, one of the biggest criticisms of people coming out is that he's bubble screen, bubble screen, bubble screen. That's pretty much in Jared Goff's wheelhouse. It's not perfect, but there's not a lot of situations where he's going to walk in and be the absolute defined alpha in an offense. He almost has to fall to a bad team to get that opportunity. And I mean, Detroit has a lot of needs. If to take a wide receiver at 7, that to me would be really stupid, but hey, it's Detroit, right? I don't think that'd be the worst landing spot. The more that I think about it, because Jared Goff is going to depend on probably one or two wide receivers, and Devonta Smith has shown that he's a reliable guy for a team.
The Kyle Pitts roller coaster is a unique one this year. Obviously, an unimaginable talent. I mean, he's 6'5" or something like that.
6'6".
Runs great, catches well. I mean, he's got everything. The intangibles are unnamed forever. He'll be great, but he's mocked every single place that you can find him. Sislowski, where do you think that he would have to go to not be maybe drafted top 5 overall in your dynasty draft?
I hate to pick on Detroit, but if he somehow falls there, right? They already have TJ Hockenson, then it would be the two tight, which, by the way, I'm a huge fan of teams that use two tight ends. When the Patriots did it in their peak, it was unstoppable, right? So I don't think there's a place where I think Kyle Pitts, like we talked about, is that I'm buying the hype. He's a transcendent talent. I don't think there's any place he can go that make me not take him. In one QB league, guys, I think Kyle Pitts is defensible as the 1.1, as long as it's not half PPR. If it's like one PPR or tight end premium, forget about it. But I think he's
Kyle a defensible. Pitts is 20 years old. He's 20 years old.
Yeah,
still.
I think he's a defensible. I'm not saying I would take him 1-1, but I'm saying if somebody did in one QB league, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I almost think there's no situation other than, you know, TJ Hockenson being there in Detroit that would push him down the board. I mean, how about you guys? What do you think about that one?
Go ahead, Shane.
Well, I've seen him mock to Atlanta quite a bit at 4. I don't see that happening. I can see him going top 10. I don't see Atlanta taking him because I think, you know, for them, it would be best to trade back, try to get assets because they have a lot to do to rebuild their team, right? And Matt Ryan, he's going to be a competent quarterback for the next 3-4 years. I see them moving back. They can't find a trade partner. They're sitting there at 4. They don't want to draft a quarterback. I could see them taking Kyle Pitts. Or could you imagine Kyle Pitts in Atlanta with Julio Jones?
And the new coach, Calvin Ridley. Arthur Smith. He used to be a tight end coach. He loves tight ends.
Exactly. That's how he started out. He was a tight ends coach. So I can see it happening. If that was a situation, that especially in a tight end premium league, I would probably rank Kyle Pitts ahead of whoever your favorite wide receiver is, Jamar Chase. Now, if he didn't land in that situation, I'm probably still taking Jamar Chase over him just because Jamar Chase is an absolute beast. And I think that you're going to make an opportunity. A coach is going to make the opportunity to get the number one wide receiver in the game more so than the tight end, because the tight end still does have to block.
So Zaslavsky, is there any other tight end of mention to be concerned with at all?
I like Brevin Jordan. I know everyone, the consensus number two is Pat Freiermuth, and I could see why. He's got like that typical tight end body, Penn State, but he was mostly banged up this year, right? He didn't play that much, but I liked Brevin Jordan's tape when I watched it. I watched the film room where you get to see like every snap. I don't know. I feel like he's being underrated. People are calling this tight end class, very underwhelming after Kyle Pitts. I like Brevin Jordan. In my one QB leagues, I'm going to be very happy to take him in the third, because as we know, these tight ends take 3 years to develop. I mean, all my Irv Smith dynasty picks are, this is the year I finally am going to get a chance with Irv Smith. Just as Evan Ingram is basically being written off, my Irv Smith shares are coming into play. So yeah, I really like Brevin Jordan as my tight end two in this class. And I hope he's obviously going to be landing spot dependent, because he's going to need opportunity. I'm excited about him though.
There's actually, a couple tight ends. Draft capital is a big thing. Mm-hmm. Some mocks have had up to three tight ends going in the first round. I think it's a very, very high-end, talented first round. I've seen it. I'm not saying it's. I'm not saying it's recommended for anything. but obviously, go ahead.
I play in a couple leagues that have two times PPR scoring for tight ends. They get double PPR. That's where it gets really interesting. Obviously, Kyle Pitts is the 1-1 in those formats. But like, how about Brevin Jordan and Pat Freiermuth? And like, where do those guys go in double PPR rookie drafts? I mean, it's a very interesting question. You need those tight ends.
Shane, do you have anything to add to the tight end discussion? We're going to go top three here. That's it.
I would say a guy that you need to keep on your radar, and that's, again, we don't know how often these guys are actually going to break out. It's probably going to take 2 or 3 years. Keep Hunter Long from Boston College on your list. A guy that I was targeting.
Keep Hunter Long on your short list?
Yes, there you go, Al. Boom, boom. I love it.
God,
as a dad, I respect that and appreciate it.
Zaslavsky, I'm out of here.
So Hunter Long, I mean, he's got more of like a blocking tight end type profile, but he's going to get on the field and he does have decent hands. So in tight end premium leagues, maybe a guy you're trying to target mid to early fourth round. In non-tight end premium leagues, take a flyer on him in your fifth round. He's the kind of guy, you store him in your taxi squad, you don't look at him for a couple years. But he's got the talent, I think, to go up and move up on the depth chart. The thing is, we talk about it's not a sexy tight end landscape. What year ever is? I mean, yeah, we've got one guy, Kyle Pitts. But TJ Hawkinson, Noah Fant, they were supposed to be two of the best tight ends to come out in a long time. They've shown glimpses of it, but you're not winning your weeks from either of those players. So,
what about O.J. Howard? I mean, geez.
Oh, my God.
O.J. Howard. Hunter Henry, really, for a point. I mean, whenever you draft these tight ends, even in super flex tight end premium, you got to get them usually 6, 7, 8, and you're not happy about it. Even right now, Hawkinson, if you drafted Hawkinson, great. You're happy about the situation where he's finally, hopefully, going to be the guy that you can really be happy that you spent a first round option on him, but OJ Howard is definitely not.
Think about the top four tight ends for Dynasty. Not all of them were waiver wire pickups at some point. Darren Waller, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, and George Kittle. None of them were drafted in most 3-round rookie drafts.
Okay, I'm going to hit you, Zaslavsky and Shane, the Flex Network one. We're going to do some, a little bit of rapid fire. Have no research on this. Okay. I just am going to hit you. Okay. But obviously this is pre-draft. Okay. So who is the guy that Zaslavsky is going to say, no matter what, coming out of the draft, pre-draft, whatever, this is your guy. Go out and draft this guy, because Alan Zaslavsky says this guy is going to hit.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to caveat this cowardly by saying obviously it'll depend on draft capital, but I said it earlier. I think that the market is way off on Kylan Hill. I think they're missing. He'll be someone that's easily available in the early, in the mid third round. And but if the draft capital hits, it'll be. I mean, I think you need to pre-draft without knowing anything else and something that's a non-obvious pick. I like Kylan Hill a lot because I thought he demonstrated a three-down skill set and extreme high-level pass catching. And he'll be off. Nobody will want him.
Nobody will. Yeah, I mean, Kylan Hill is not necessarily somebody that you, like you said, I mean, nobody's talking about him. Yeah. It's great to be talking about him.
There's some services that are talking about him in the conversation of, like, you know, the top six, seven. Right. But some people
are the last of a guy. Right. He's the last of the guys that have a pulse to some people.
Yeah, exactly.
Shane,
exactly.
You're a guy. You're a guy.
Okay, so when I was talking about Rondale Moore, I accidentally slipped and I said Elijah Moore at the end of my rant. Hmm. And that's because the other guy that I love is Elijah Moore. And man, I just love, like, Adrenas Prode. He's with from Ole Miss. We played with AJ Brown. He played with DK Metcalf. And when he was just coming out, he put up a 4.35 at his pro day. Hands that are just guaranteed. He had 86 receptions in college, 1193 receiving yards. He's sure-handed. He's profiling more as a, obviously as a slot wide receiver, but again, he's still 5'9". He's quick as hell. He's got a 98th percent agility score on playerprofiler.com. So in the right situation, hell, in any situation, middle of second round, if I have one of those picks, I'm pulling the trigger on Elijah Moore. I think that he's a game changer. He's a special talent. He's a smart player. And man, if he ended up in like a Tennessee or even in a Seattle and is the heir apparent for maybe eventually Tyler Lockett as he's getting older, I think that'd be a fantastic fit. I love Elijah Moore.
How about you, okay, Matt? Who's your guy?
Well, my guy's Terrace Marshall. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just need him. I want him. I knew it. Like I said to Shane, I called him. I'm like, Shane, please don't say Terrace Marshall. Please don't say Terrace Marshall. Because every single year I'm at 2.01, 2.02, somewhere around there. And I am just hoping that someone doesn't grab these guys at 110, 111. Yeah. Just coming up to get their guy, which is what you have to do if you're at the end of the draft. This is a great draft to be the fantasy championship holder last year.
You know, what's a killer with those type of guys? If the guy who ends up, whoever the wide receiver is that ends up on Baltimore is the one that I'm going to be dubious of. And I'm sure that's not a hot take or anything like that, but Marshall is in danger of being that guy.
Everybody is almost. Yeah. I mean, it's well, everybody's nervous.
That makes sense. So.
Okay. Says Lowski, what about a guy that you, let's say that other guys are high on, but you would like to arbitrage a veteran for and snake the arbitraging pick. So let's say you have pick 105 and you like Kyle Pitts there, or you like Jamar Chase there. Who could you go out there and sell that pick for a guy that you would much rather buy in Dynasty over the rookie hype and just snake your league mate with a trade?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question, by the way, because I think this is something that can be done. And if I have the 105, and I do in quite a few of my drafts, I would go to the Terry McLaurin guy and say, hey, you want 105? Give me Terry McLaurin. He didn't have like a great season last year, but I'm with you. Yeah, I think we're this whole group right here, the Flex Network, is very pro catch TMC. And I just think like a top five finish is what the next step is. Would Ryan Fitzpatrick or whatever rookie they get. So I would offer any pick in the first round, maybe even 104 for Terry McLaurin and try to pry him out of somebody's hands.
Terry McLaurin, hold on, Shane.
Can I just ask him about this?
Go ahead.
Straight up, would you take Jamar Chase or Terry McLaurin right now?
Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
That's a hot take. We're going to rewind that one. That's great. You know what? The best for me, if a question was presented to me, the best throw in a trade right now, it's Curtis Samuel. Okay. Being dropped. Did you see what came out when Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel were found to be on the same team again? And they were like, man, we dreamed about this in college. Like, that is fun. You know, somewhere that finally where Curtis Samuel can sit in the wide receiver room and say, listen, this is how we have to run this. And my guy Terry right here can tell you exactly how it's done. With the IDGAFQB as Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know they're just going to say, okay, you know what? We had this on the plan, but we're going to scratch this week. We're going to put this in. It's going to be fun to watch. Shane, 1.04, 1.05. Who are you going to nab in a snake trade and put on your fantasy team for Ja'Marr Chase?
Man, see, a player that I think, you know, we talk about opportunity is key. A guy that people just are not high on right now is Kenny Golladay. I think that Kenny Golladay would be a sneaky player. He's going to the Giants. Daniel Jones had a poor year last year, but 2 years ago, he was the next breakout rookie.
I was offered that trade. Somebody in one of my leagues wanted my 106 for Kenny Golladay. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I didn't want Golladay. So maybe you're onto something here.
Well, no, it's just a thought, right? So that's kind of the sweet spot. So Kenny Golladay, he is sneaky old. I want to say he's 27 years old already.
And he's 28.
Is he 28 already? Yeah. So, I mean, he's getting up there. If you're in a situation where if you're 105 and it's your only rookie pick, then obviously you don't have a fantastic team, but maybe you had some injuries last year. Maybe you had Kenny Golladay, you traded him away and you're like, friggin', I need to get out of this guy. And then somebody's offering it to you back. In a traditional league, non-superflex, it gets real dicey around that five pick, man. You get your elite running backs. There's a few wide receivers, but then there's a lot of question marks. I think that if you can get Kenny Golladay, he's going to be productive. He's great with the deep ball.
27. You were right.
27. Okay. There you go.
Yes.
And look, man, the Giants are going to be better next year. Saquon Barkley is going to be back. He's going to be healthy, hopefully. Kenny Galladay's back. He's going to be healthy, hopefully. He's the top dog in town. He's going to get at least probably 130-odd targets. He loves the deep ball. I think that if you want to win your league this year, the player that you can go out and get for the 104, 105 is a player like Kenny Golladay.
You could easily do that. I think anybody that has Kenny Golladay will be putting him to you on a beautiful silver platter. Nobody's going to want Kenny Golladay. And if you believe in him, you can get that done.
Well, I sold off Kenny Golladay 2 years ago for 2 second-round picks and LaVisca Chenault eventually in that draft class. So here's my arbitrage. If you've got pick 102, no, 103 in a super flex, let's say maybe 104. Either way, if you're selecting Najee Harris or you're thinking somebody might, you know, could you go out there and arbitrage to grab Saquon? You know, there's been some injury history recently. He's getting older. You know, there is a little bit of funk on the team now that Kenny Golladay's there. So it might be tougher, but it would be hard to turn down if Najee Harris was your guy. It'd be hard to turn down a straight up trade or maybe you can sweeten the pot with the second rounder or something like that for a Saquon Barkley. Seslowski, I know you would never do that if you had Saquon Barkley, but I think it can be had out there. There's some, you know, someone might want to get out from under him.
Saquon's only 1 year older than Najee Harris, Matt.
Yeah, I'm just saying if he's your guy, if Najee's your guy and you can get somebody on the hook for it, can you make it happen? I don't know. You might not be as good at trades as I am. Well,
here's Matt knows I don't agree with that, but I'll make the case for him. I'm going to give you a situation. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's not think about right now. Let's say that Najee Harris goes to a good team, Pittsburgh. We all agree that Pittsburgh's a good landing spot.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So let's say he goes there. And let's say Saquon Barkley has another season ending injury, right? Where's Saquon Barkley's 2022 ADP and where's Najee Harris's 22 ADP? That's a situation that's not out of the realm of possibility. Yeah. So let's say in week 7, Barkley out for the count. I mean, he's going to go in like the third round, the late second round for his truthers.
Even worse, what is his dynasty value after he gets?
Well, that's what I'm saying. What's his startup ADP?
Yes, that's kind of what I meant. That's what I'm saying. And I was alluding. See, Seslowski, you are feeling the waves. Last thing.
So I don't agree with it, but like you're saying, is like there is a path to that. So
that's what I'm saying. You put it up there, you prop it up there, and then you realize it. Okay, Seslowski. Last thing, who is going to make the biggest splash in the NFL draft this year in represented to fantasy football?
Go ahead, Shane. You can go first.
Okay, Shane.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, the most obvious ones are going to be either Najee Harris or Travis Etienne. Like, to me, those are the guys.
Is that what you mean? Which player or which team? I thought you said.
I'm saying, like, if what could happen that would just make a splash for fantasy football? So
I got the answer.
A trade happens.
No, I understand the question. Mm-hmm. Good, Shane. I interrupted you, man. And then I have a definite answer.
I have a definite answer too.
Go for it, man. I want
to
hear
Justin Fields to the San Francisco 49ers at 3 overall is going to make the biggest splash to fantasy football this year.
Yeah, I'll be short and sweet. I was going to say the Washington football team trades up with Atlanta and gets Trey Lance. Yes. That'll be the big one.
You want Trey Lance up with Atlanta, huh?
Washington football team trades up with Atlanta and then takes Trey Lance.
But are you assuming that Fields is off the board at 3 there?
Yes.
Okay, so you're both siding with the idea that it's actually Fields at 3.
He's the betting favorite. Vegas has Fields as the favorite to go third overall.
I love that.
I mean, it's logical.
I love that. So who gets Mac Jones? Who wins the Mac Jones sweepstakes the final?
It could be Denver, like where do they pick, like 9th or 8th? And then I don't think I think Mac Jones's floor is 15 with the Patriots. That's as far as he'll drop.
Do you think someone drafts or someone trades up higher than the obvious Denver? I mean, at that point, then you would have the Miami at or wherever they are at or whoever's ahead of Denver and
Carolina,
both of them.
Carolina picks at 8.
Yeah, I don't think Mac Jones would be. I don't think they would go Mac Jones, but I do think if Trey Lance was there, that they would take Trey Lance and not worry about that. They just spent the second round pick on Darnold. How about
send us out, says Lowski or Shane? Send us out, Shane. It's gotta be like the Patriots going up and getting somebody like a Mac Jones, who I would feel like Bill Belichick would love somebody like that. Okay.
Mac a lot of people have
the Patriots trading up for Trey Lance, which I don't disagree, but I just think that's the narrative that they've already got Cam Newton. Yeah. So maybe they're looking for something like that. And I really don't know that that's the case. I would say you put back on their team Mac Jones, then they change and make a huge splash in that side of life. So
it's not very Bill Belichickian to trade up, but like you said, it's usually not their trademark to spend in free agency either. And they did that, right?
Exactly. You nailed it, Al. Okay. We're going to end it there, guys. So of course you can follow Alan Sezlowski on Twitter at Alan Sezlowski. Follow Matt and I on Twitter at the Flex Network One. I like to say the smart tweets come from me. The crazy ones come from Matt.
That's true.
Maybe a bit in between. So we're just getting started, guys. We took some time on the off season. We've been working our asses off behind the scene, getting our heads right for this draft. We're really excited, and it's going to be a hell of a season, guys. So for Al, for Flex Matt, we are the Flex Network.
The Flex Network. This is the Flex Network. Flex on them. Flex on everybody. This right here is the Flex Network. Yeah. Flex on the G.